for those of us who never got to see the Beatles in concert, we're fortunate to have the Fab Four dedicate themselves to faithfully recreating some of the most extraordinary music ever written. And they'll return to the Egg in Albany, New York this Saturday, March 28th at 7:30, performing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in its entirety with the Hogshead Horns and the Creme Tangerine Strings. The musical virtuosity of the Fab Four, in actuality five of the hardest working musicians in New York City, turns the concept of a Beatles tribute band on its head. The Fab Four tackles the group's most demanding material live on stage in a way that has to be experienced to be believed. Will Lee joins us now. Will has played music with all four Beatles and is the bassist for Paul Schaefer's CBS Orchestra on The Late Show with David Letterman. Will Lee, welcome to the program. Great to have the Fab Four back in the region.
We look forward to coming back to the Egg again. It's one of our favorite venues in America. We love playing there.
I saw you the last time you were in town doing this. This is an incredible experience. How did it all begin for you?
Well, you know, it's funny because the Beatles have been my main influences, as it has for so many people that do music, especially, and not to mention, you know, people that do fashion, but people that do music for sure. I guess people have thought of Beatle bands as being guys that put on wigs and try to look like the Beatles and pretend to be the Beatles. So I kind of never thought of having a Beatles band, but I met our drummer, Rich Pagano, who's got an uncanny Ringo sound to his drumming and a fantastic voice, kind of reminiscent of John Lennon's. And at that point, upon meeting him, I immediately thought, wouldn't it be fun to bring some of the Beatles records to the stage with a Beatles, a band of guys who are really deep into this music, who love the records as much as I do. And there you have it. Here we are, almost going into our 18th year of doing this. And we are the Fab Four from New York City and the same five guys that have been doing it this whole time since 1998.
What does doing Sgt. Pepper's in its entirety allow you? An experience that you don't have in picking and choosing the tunes that you play?
Well, you know, for instance, well, the one thing about doing any album is that the audience, when they hear about it, you know, as far as people wanting to come to a thing that's like an easy to figure out package, what am I going to hear? A lot of people want to be in control of what they're going to hear, so they already know what the song list is going to be, as opposed to a night of Beatle music that we pick and choose based on the roller coaster ride that it could be, where you don't know what the next song is going to be, which is really exciting in its own, you know, in its own experience. But this time around, we're going to do this album in sequence, just the way it was done on the actual recording that everybody knows and loves. And this is an album that changed the face of albums, I guess, forever. When they were albums, remember when they were albums?
I remember when there were albums.
Okay, well, way back when there were albums. You know, this is the first album that, for instance, when it came out, first of all, it kind of took you on an imaginary trip of an alter ego band,
right,
that were the Beatles, but were addressing you as the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. They kind of gave themselves like a stage persona to present this music from. And when they did, you know, that also included like the artwork that came with it. And when the album came out, we all grabbed this beautiful, you know, multicolored presentation that for the first time in the history of putting out recorded music, I think, the lyrics were actually printed right on the cover.
Right.
That had never happened before. So, you know, besides the immediate looking at the cover before you even got into the music, there was already an experience underway. And once you got inside and pulled out the music to listen to it, what you heard was like this trip through like all these psychedelic textures and incredible, you know, the lyrics were unbelievable, kind of otherworldly at times. And, you know, it's a transformative thing. You can close your eyes and just go somewhere else for the time that it's being played. And it's kind of a wonderful grouping of songs, and it's going to be a wonderful night of music for those who who we'll see at the Albany Egg Theater.
There is a beginning, a middle, and an end to it, really. I mean, there's a story being told, and it is varied, obviously, but by doing it straight through the way it was intended on the album, there's certainly an arc.
There certainly is, you know, as a producer and as a guy who's played on a few albums myself, when you're making an album, one of the most difficult parts of making an album is the sequencing of songs. So the very thing that you're talking about, had it been in a different order, could have really felt not quite as amazing as far as that arc is concerned. So the order of the tunes really becomes an important part of the whole, you know, experience from beginning to end.
I'm interested in the fact that so much, and I've seen this in several reviews of your work, that as a group you're not interested in the nostalgia, but you're very interested, obviously most interested in the music itself. And that was something I assume is a conscious choice that comes from the very beginning.
Well, yeah, for me, you know, the music is the fascinating thing. I mean, of course, the personalities were fascinating of the Beatles and the way they looked when you first saw them on the Ed Sullivan Show or something, when they were shaking their heads and stuff, was amazing. But they had so much more going on, and when you delve into the records, to me, that's where the real magic is. That's what we think we've been doing since all those years, is bringing that thing to the stage.
Talk a little bit about how people respond to the music. Having seen your show and having even seen Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, it's fascinating to watch an audience respond to the music. And remember when I saw you the last time you were at the Egg, it's just what that music does to people is really amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun, isn't it?
It is.
It's incredible that not only do the people who have known this music since it first was released, you know, they get into a feeling and they're singing along and they're having their own experience and their own trips. Even if they're not singing along, you can feel them experiencing it. And they're either on their feet or deep in a sort of a mesmerized state of watching and listening. But then they have their kids there, and their kids have their kids there, and all of them are into it, you know, on some level, and it's amazing. And you can, by the end of the night, you feel like you've just made a bunch of friends, sort of. Kind of wonderful.
How long have you been doing just the album?
I don't know when we started doing albums. I think we started doing albums, we had to sort of wait, because the original focus of our band had nothing to do with doing albums. And in fact, the fact that we do albums, it almost feels like we started something, because now when you see bands, they do albums.
Right.
And I don't think that was happening much. I could be wrong about that, because maybe Pink Floyd was doing The Wall as an album. But as far as, like, you know, even Steely Dan now are doing albums, and lots of bands are doing whole albums, and it's a trip. I mean, Stevie Wonder's out doing Songs in the Key of Life, which is an unbelievable experience. But when we first started out, we were just, well, what can we do? We were five guys. This is before we incorporated horns and strings. And, of course, we got greedy as time went on. When we saw what was possible, we started to get hungry to go into the next level and see if we can, well, let's try to see what it feels like to have a trumpet play the piccolo trumpet solo on Penny Lane. So we hired the late, great Lou Soloff and went on stage and blew the place apart with that solo. And we thought, hey, that feels pretty good, you know. And that led to, well, let's see what a cello feels like on I Am the Walrus. And then that began our little mini string section of the Cream Tangerine Strings. And, you know, it just kept growing and growing as time went on. And then, you know, there was a time when we had amassed enough tunes from a particular album that we thought, wow, let's learn the last couple and make it a whole album experience. We're almost there. And that has grown into, you know, having performed almost all the Beatle albums at this point as an album show. And it's a blast.
And obviously gets you even more into an understanding of the catalog as a whole.
Of course, yeah. And it's an amazing catalog that was created within like a 7-year period, which is unreal.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Are you still at the point, even though you do it a lot and you are so familiar with it, is it something where it's still, when you're doing the music, there are aspects of it that still surprise you?
Every time we play any song, it's still that experience, but especially because we do a different show every weekend. So that really keeps you scared and fresh. Good combination, scared and fresh.
Scared and fresh.
Yeah. Name of my next band, actually.
Scared and fresh.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're scared and fresh. How's everybody doing tonight?
Will Lee is part of Fab Foe. They're coming to the Egg Saturday, March 28th at 7:30 p.m. You can find out more by going to theegg.org, theegg.org. Will Lee, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for talking to us. Have a great time in Albany.
Thanks, Joe. Hope to see you there.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Alrighty.
Appreciate it. Again, Will Lee and the Fab Foe at the Egg, March 28th at 7:30 p.m. You can find out more at theegg.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.